following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, boxers or briefs?
Speaking briefly, boxers. Unless you're a boxer, then I go briefs. Next caller.
I want to find my nearest Sport Clips, but I don't want to ask for directions.
Use sportclips.com. It's actually Guy approved. At Sport Clips, you'll get an awesome MVP haircut experience while watching sports on TV. Your head will glow like a freshly mowed Major League outfield. This has been Guy Talk, brought to you by Sport Clips, where it's good to be a guy.
Behind every great coach is a great and ever-evolving, game-changing playbook. That's why at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've created the B-Dub Sauce Lab. Here, we're hard at work concocting, crafting, and innovating brand-new mouth-watering flavors, from sweet to sizzling to downright scorching. Each sauce will be released one by one throughout the year, and they'll be anything but predictable, like any great playbook. Visit BuffaloWildWings.com/SauceLab to find out which limited-time sauce is in store now, because they won't be here forever.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, due to Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Something occurred to me today, Jimmy.
What is it, Doug?
Got to do my taxes, I guess.
It's a good time to start. Try to get your...
I'm sure those... To the government, here's what I owe you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the guy will be really happy when you bring all your stuff in your little shoebox going, hey... Here it is.
Let's go. What are you talking about? You got everybody else done? Yeah. That's why I wait till the last second. Come on. What are you talking about? Glad to have you with us here on this Monday. We're going to be talking with Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, Roger Matheson. We'll be chatting with us about his induction into the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame, the Masters, Nebraska's spring game, and the Frozen Four, and Nebraska bowling, and baseball and softball that went on over the weekend. A whole lot of things going on. Interesting weather that we had yesterday, and some of the kids, some of the teachers get today off from school because of it, and much needed moisture. It was a lot different. I came back from the spring game yesterday. It was an experience, but not like some others had. So Fodder only got through a couple of races. They did have another great day on Saturday. And we get ready for the Easter weekend. So a lot going on. What's on the top of the Jimmy Langan mind this morning?
Oh, the Masters. I thought we talked on Friday, and we said we're going to talk about the Masters. And I thought, you know, Bubba Watson won it on Friday when he hit, I think he had like a string of about six holes in a row there where he birdied, and that's actually where the tournament was won on a Friday. I mean, no one really caught him, and there were some moves made, and there was a lot of little moves back and forth. There were some new faces we saw, but Bubba actually played well enough to win, and probably it was his tournament to lose, really, with about, you know, going into the back nine. So.
And it allowed him to not have a great round on Saturday where he struggled a little bit, shot his only over par round. But Bubba Watson is the winner. I did not see that one coming, and I guess that just means that the course at Augusta is set up well for Bubba Watson, and you've got to keep him in there. I think Adam Scott is now a guy that you got to keep in there. Yes, he finishes back in the pack a little bit, but he had his struggles on the front nine. But you see some of the guys that I think will be in this next generation of the guys that we always talk about that every year they're going to be in contention, they're going to be on the leaderboard. I mean, what the heck is Fred Couples still doing on the leaderboard? Well, this course suits him. He's played it so many times. He knows how to play it. He can still bomb the ball. He can still make a few putts. Miguel Angel Jimenez, what did I tell you? Three good rounds, one bad round. And the one bad round is what's going to keep him probably from ever winning a major. He is fun, but yet now he's to the point of, man, he's 50. He wants to keep on this. But he's been on that leaderboard so many times in majors, Jimmy. He just doesn't win it because he always has one bad round, not kind of off round, bad round. I mean, he shoots 66, but can't, you know, Friday kind of did him in. Saturday, he had a great round.
Yeah, you're right. There's some names up there after one round or two rounds, but they just can't play the, you know, the whole 72. So, and that's what you need to do, of course, you know. And I guess it's when you get in trouble, it's how you just get a bogey. You know, I've never been able to do that in my career. When I got in trouble, I had a lot of snowmen on my scorecards.
Seven players is all out of the 97, and then they cut it down to what I think ended up being about 51 guys that got in. So out of that, only seven professional golfers finished under par at the Masters. And I guess I'd have to go back and look, but it seems like that's not very many. I mean, it seems like back in the day, even if the score wasn't that much, a lot of guys were finishing under par, and that's not the case anymore. And Bubba definitely was the best, and he gets a little over $1.6 million. The Masters used to keep that pretty secret all the way to the end, and then you'd have to kind of watch for it on Monday. But those were big putts at the end. Jonas Blixt and Jordan Spieth, when you're standing over them on the 18th to make some putts, second place split was $792,000. Fourth for Jimenez was 432. So you're talking $360,000 plus dollars for those putts.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of amazing when you look in the NBA playoffs and et cetera, too, Doug. You know, the game will be tied, and maybe it's the first round of the playoffs. And the winning team, if this guy makes this free throw, they'll move on to the next round and can continue to move on further, too. But how much money each one of those points might be worth. Hey, this free throw's, you know, some guy just sitting on the bench that's not even playing. You know, the 11th guy is going, hey, you're looking at number 10 going, if he makes these, you know, that's $60,000 for both of us, you know. You know, and a chance to win $160,000 next week in the playoffs. You know, so there's a lot of money. And, boy, you talk about that, Pat. Man, hey, this is worth, you know, I get nervous if it's worth a dollar. So,
yeah. Hey, Jeffrey, could you pull down our Major League Baseball predictions from the beginning of the year? Because what are we, about three weeks in now? Royals, not a good weekend for the Royals.
No, that was a really had a couple bad innings on. They're not scoring enough runs either.
No, they're really not. They're like Nebraska. They're not scoring runs. They're not hitting for power. They're not getting extra base hits. But Nebraska's pitching is finding a way in collegiate baseball to get the job done here. Oh, man. I thought I had a story here.
What happened?
But I don't. I don't have a story.
What was the
story? We'll have to go back to the tape. I think I said, do I pick the Brewers or the Padres to be my dark horse? And I picked the Padres, and the Brewers have the best record in baseball. Well, we don't have to talk about that anymore.
Well, so we don't want to look at it. Hey,
What's Jimmy got? Let's see how we're doing early on here.
Yeah,
I always like to see how we're doing. I'm going to look. We'll pull up the Major League Baseball standings here, and we'll see how we're doing so far. In the American League, the Yankees, Toronto, and Tampa Bay are all tied in the East at 7-6. Boston. I think I picked Boston.
Who did I pick, Doug?
You picked.
I picked Tampa Bay, I think.
Yep. Yeah. You picked. No, you got Tampa as the wild card.
Okay.
Right. Indians and Tampa as the wild card. That's what that means, right? Mariners, A's, Tigers.
Well, Tampa had to be in.
I guess you.
Indians. And
okay. Well. Okay. Tampa Bay. All right. Yep. Then in the Central, we both picked Detroit. In the West, you picked Oakland, and I picked. Who did I pick? I picked the Angels. Okay. And Oakland, 8-4. The Angels are 6-6. In the National League, I picked Atlanta. They lead it at 8-4. You picked Washington. They're second at 7-5. In the Central, I picked St. Louis, and you picked Cincinnati. Milwaukee, 10-2. St. Louis, 7-5. Cincinnati, 4-8. And in the West, I picked the Dodgers, so did you. They lead it at 9-4. San Francisco 8-5. The Padres 5-7. You had San Francisco and Pittsburgh as your wild card.
How the Cleveland Indians doing in the American League Central?
Damon Day. Well, they're 6-7, and the Royals are dead last at 4-7.
Dead last, 4-7.
They're 1-4 in their last five games. But it's early. they're only 2.5 out.
They're usually out of it by June 1st.
How do you lose to Sam Houston State? Jimmy, has Nebraska lost to Sam Houston State at anything ever?
They
have now.
Not in football.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. The bowling team lost to Sam Houston State. I wasn't in such a raucous environment as I was last year when they won the national championship, so maybe I need to blame myself for not being somewhere yelling at a TV. It was 2-2, their best of seven, 2-2. And then Sam Houston State got the last two to win it 4-2. Coach Bill Straub, happy even though the Huskers could not capitalize on some key strikes during the match. Quote, it seemed like we were hunting grizzly bears with a little stick. We have a good bunch of people today. We just could not win the battle. We can't take anything from this. Getting to show was great. Getting to the show was great. We just took a few steps back tonight. All we can do is move forward and continue to build going into next season. I know Fast Eddie crushed over in Elwood by Nebraska coming in second. Tough Thursday, great Friday, and then a rough Saturday as, man, the Bearcats with a K. Sam Houston State Bearcats, K-A-T-S.
Mm-hmm.
They win this. So there you go.
That's good for them. I'm sure their trophy case, they'll have something to bring back. They probably have a pretty nice-sized trophy for that, don't they?
Oh, well, it's as nice as any other, and they're all the same.
Everyone's
they just put a different person in the middle there and put bowling at the bottom instead of basketball.
A different person.
It looks just like UConn, only it's a bowler, not a basketball player.
A different person in the middle.
Yeah, a little, you know, like that golfing guy there. You know, that's what it looks like, only it's a bowler.
Yeah, there you go. I can see that.
But, Nebraska had three open frames in the last match. I mean, you're not going to win with open frames.
No. We talked about that.
And this is no surprise, but something that I think kind of got glossed over here over the weekend, and I didn't really see anybody mention this, was that they did announce the winner of the Sullivan Award on Friday night, and Nebraska's Kelsey Robinson, the volleyball standout, was up for this. She was one of the three finalists. I mean, this is the most prestigious amateur award. This goes to Olympians. This goes to four-time wrestling champs. This goes to outstanding. I mean, and it did again this year. John Urschel won it, the Penn State All-American guard. I mean, this has got to, this might be the smartest guy to ever play sports, is John Urschel. We've had him on the show, got to talk to him at Big Ten Media Days a couple of times. So he wins it. Florida Track and Field's Corey Ann McGee and Nebraska's Kelsey Robinson were the other finalists. This has been going on for 84 years. I mean, folks that have won this, Michael Phelps, Jackie Joyner, Kersey, Bruce Jenner, Bruce Baumgartner, Eric Heiden, Wilma Rudolph. I mean, there's just great, great names. And to even have a athlete that we've been able to follow as one of the finalists, quite the deal. And congratulations, Kelsey Robinson, even though she did not win the award, one of three finalists. So there you go. Spring game, we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. We're going to talk with Tony Harper about the Hastings College spring game as well. But right now we'll take a break and then talk a little Huskers after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So, if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Fantasy baseball's back, and our listeners are winning huge cash at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy sports site. Like Sam, he won $100,000, his first time ever playing. Seriously, DraftKings is one-day fantasy sports, so no season-long commitments, just instant cash payouts. This week, DraftKings has another huge tourney with thousands in cash prizes, and our listeners get free entry. Enter Herd at DraftKings.com, but hurry, free spots are going quick. That's Herd at DraftKings.com.
Get to Subway for the spicy Italian, now the $3 6-inch select of April. Try it fresh toasted on garlic bread with shredded mozzarella and your choice of fresh veggies, and it's still just $3 as one of our April featured values. We've also got the turkey breast and Black Forest ham as our featured $5 footlong. For just $5, loaded up with all your favorites like green peppers and spinach. The $3 6-inch select and the featured $5 footlong, all April long. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only, plus tax, prices, and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
With a mix of clouds and sun developing today, we'll head up to 43 for a high as northwest winds will stay gusting for around 15 to 30 yet. With partly cloudy skies tonight, winds will be diminishing as we head back to 22. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now, it's 28.
Doug and Daddy's show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Congratulations to the Kearney girls and Hastings boys. They came back from Scott's Bluff before the storm with trophies signifying themselves as the GNAC soccer tournament champions. Hastings beat the Kearney boys in a shootout after a scoreless game. They beat them in a shootout, and then Columbus girls fell to Kearney in the championship there. And Grand Island boys, even though they dropped a couple early this season, they were able to win their conference tournament as well. So congratulations to those folks. And we're kind of now getting into the meat of the schedule for soccer, for track, for all the spring sports. They've got through some of the early meets, preliminaries, and now ready to get after it. And hopefully this precipitation is really going to help the golf courses, and we'll get some nice golf invites and districts in when it's time for that to roll around here in a month. And folks, we're not always going to have precipitation like this. When you get your crops in the field, you want to make sure that you're able to get the control you want, and you can do that with T&L's Precision Point Control 3 with GPS. The TL PPC-3 allows you to control speed, direction, and gun at auto-stop locations with GPS right from your home. The TL PPC-3, combined with T&L's continuously moving hydrostatic power design, gives you the assurance of uniform water application, improved crop production, and effective irrigation system management. And for more information about the Precision Point Control 3 system or any other pivot control management systems from your T&L irrigation dealer, stop by and see them today, or you can go online to learn more at TLIRR.com, TLIRR.com, T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works and easier on you for a lifetime. Don't know what we got out of the Nebraska spring game on Saturday. The one thing that, there were a couple of things. Tommy Armstrong, I didn't think played very well, but how much of that is the number one defense? I think going into the year, and we talked about this, and people are going to be asking for the next 5 months, how you think we're going to be? How you think we're going to be? What do you think we're going to be? How you think you're going to be? I'll just give you some initial thoughts right off the top of my head, which could change when we make our official prediction come this August, when we go to Big Ten Media Days and see what we learn there. I think Nebraska's road schedule is incredibly tough. I do not see Nebraska going. I mean, I think this is another 9-4 type of ball club because of the competition. We'll have to pay attention to how good that competition is. The games, the names on those visitors' lines this year seem to be tough, but will they be tough? I am very concerned about the quarterback position, Jimmy. I think this is the weakest, and I mean you. I'm talking Sam Keller. I'm going to go back, and this is something I want to look at over the spring, over the summer. I mean, I don't remember the last time where I feel Nebraska is as weak at the starting quarterback position as I think they're going to be this year. And I think maybe Tommy Armstrong's going to be great. That's all fine and good. I'm not slamming Tommy Armstrong. But I'm saying there is, I mean, if we get one or two guys dinged up, we're not sure if it's Riker Fife or Johnny Stanton. I thought Riker looked really good in the spring game on Saturday. But again, how much of it is going against the second team defense? How much of it is just being a practice? Very concerned about the kicking game. But Bo Pelini actually did everything but say that the Brown kid who's coming in will get the start as a true freshman. And he had some praise for Spencer Lindsay, also the Kearney High kid, saying, I think that he came as far as about anybody. So the coach had some praise there. But quarterback, kicking game, I think this is the most, you know, when Brett Maher came in, a lot of people were concerned after Alex Henry, getting a chance to watch Brett, knowing the kind of person he was. You know, when we went to media days and we talked to him, said, don't worry, Brett Maher's going to be just fine. And obviously he was. I don't feel that way with what's going on down there at the immediate moment. And that's huge. If this is a team, and there were a couple articles this weekend, both the Lincoln and the Omaha paper, kind of comparing this team, as we said over the weekend, to the one that went and lost to Texas by 1 point in the Big 12 championship game. Very defensive football team, not as much offense. That's kind of the way I see this year's football team as we sit here on April the 14th.
Yeah, and Doug, if that's the case, and what you're saying is the kicking game and the field goal kicking game, as well as the field position game with punts, you know, how you cover punts, how you return punts. You know, one thing about football is when you get into a defensive struggle, all yards are very critical, whether they're penalty yards. You know, you could have 85 yards in penalties, and a lot of people don't, you know, overlook that sometimes, that those penalty yards are just as important as, like, the punt and punt return yards that you're getting. And I'm not talking about busting them for touchdowns. Those things are just, you know, bonuses, or when they go against you, they really kill you. But I'm talking about you just getting an extra 20 yards on a, you know, one team didn't get a first time, the other team didn't get a first down, but there's a 20-yard difference because of a nice punt and the way you covered it, or somebody hit a coffin corner or did some things. So you're exactly right, Doug, about the field goals. You get into those defensive games, all yards are very, very important, you know. And I really think, too, if we're going to be defensive-minded, and the only thing you didn't cover, because you covered everything else, Doug, was the penalty yards, how critical that might be. And with your quarterback situation, I'm not with Tommy Armstrong, I'm going to say that, hey, you know, as long as we give him a game plan and say, hey, here's what we expect out of you, here's what we're going to do, we don't want you to force some balls in there. You know, now you have to force them, you know, late in the game. If you're down in the fourth quarter, you're going to have to take a chance. But, you know, let's don't do this. So, Doug, I think you got this team nailed pretty well.
Well,
the only other thing that I think the positive maybe is we can run some the time of possession. You know, we might be able to run the ball a little better. What did you think of the offensive line that I tried to say looks okay? The two offensive tackles, did they look okay, or did they not look good against that defense?
I thought Nebraska threw the ball a lot in the spring game. It was hard to really – I mean, Amani Cross looked good.
Okay.
Amani Cross looked good, so he has to be running behind somebody. But, you know, Abdullah didn't do anything. Amani Cross ran well. And again, is that ones on ones or twos on twos? I mean, that's what you're looking at. Any of those stats are pretty skewed from Saturday, and you sure can't put many eggs into that basket. I still think that is going to be a concern. Maybe not a big concern. Maybe if you list the top three concerns, that's not number two or three. But I mean, you can't just say, "Oh, we got Amir Abdullah, we're going to be fine," because we're no.
Yeah, you can't be. This team cannot be a one-dimensional, and what I mean by one-dimensional is not him, I mean running the ball. You know, I mean, we've got to go, it's got to be at least 40-60, 60-40, you know, and you have to decide what the other team is weak at, what the other team's defense is weak at, should, you know, that should be your game plan a little bit, so you should be attacking what they're not good at instead of what you're good at. And that was the difference, I think, that's the difference when we had the teams in the 80s and 90s. You know, those teams had to stop our running game. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be honest about it. You got to stop, we're going to line up, and if you can stop us, here it is, but if you don't. But that, I remember that one year, I think, when Nebraska had a really good national championship type team. I think we punted 8 times that year until we got into Oklahoma games and, you know, but I mean, you know, 8 times punt. I mean, how important is your punter then?
Well, Tommy Armstrong is going to have to throw the ball better, and that's what they've been talking about in the spring, making better decisions, not throwing the picks. That's fine about making better decisions, but still, when you throw the ball, he's going to have to be better. And that, again, that all comes with more starts, more experience. I get it. But he's still just going to be a sophomore, so he's not going to have the starts, the experience, and all the things that go along with it. If Nebraska's passing game, like any time, you know, if you can run it, that helps your passing. If you can pass it, that helps your running. And I think Nebraska's fortunate that Florida Atlantic and McNeese stayed in the first 2 games.
Yes, they're good. I like that idea. Doug, real quick, for the people that didn't go, and myself too, Riker Fife, about how many snaps did he take? Armstrong, how many snaps did he take? About the, you know, just the percentages. Was it about 50, 25?
Normally, I would have put the stat sheet in front of me, but of course I don't have it in front of me right now. But they rotated him through pretty. I mean, Tommy got a few more snaps, and then towards the end of the game, they let Stanton take a few more snaps. They got Darlington had a few snaps, and Riker, he rotated in just as much as anybody else.
Okay.
Tommy, I think, got a few more snaps, though. It was Armstrong, then Fife, Armstrong, then Stanton in the first half. And the only person that didn't really take a snap was the cat.
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me about the cat.
I'm walking in, and one of the interns that's working down there is a guy from Kearney, and he grabs me. He goes, "Hey, I can't tell you, but make sure you pay attention to the tunnel walk. They're doing something, you know." And there comes Bo with that damn cat, and then he holds it out there like Groundhog Day. I mean, that's funny, and I hope nobody, you know, I got to thinking, you know, somebody out there is going to go, "This is what Nebraska football has come to." Nah, they're just having a little fun, and the whole thing was a little bit about fun, and the skills and the drills that they showed, and if you didn't go and watch on the Big Ten Network, some of it last year I thought was but this year a little more fun. They threw that punt return in there. That was good. I think Brandon Riley, who is getting some pub, he's going to be a good one for Nebraska. Jack Gangwish is getting he's getting some pub out there as well, as we talked about last week. Just if you talk about guys and their names coming up there, Coach Pelini is looking for depth. These guys aren't starters, but who's going to come in? He said coming out of that spring break, "I'm trying to find the next guys. I'm trying to find out where our depth is. I'm pretty solid with where our starters are." And there's some places where they are not going to be deep. But he has got to find some players, and it's kind of neat that some of the kids are from our area. Is that a good thing? I don't know. You know.
Well, I think it is. And, Doug, I think you're right. I think NCAA football at that level is that your starters, you know, you might play the first, second, and maybe the fourth series. But, boy, who comes in the third series and the fifth series is so critical. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of times we don't notice it. You do notice when they change the running back. Oh, yeah, that's a different guy carrying the ball. You know, but you don't realize maybe sometimes that that's a new guard or a new center. You know what I mean? Or a couple new tackles are coming in at that time. And you know, because, you know, when somebody runs a pattern and they go out for a pass and they run a 50-yard bomb and it's incomplete, that guy usually gets to take off and go to the sideline the next play. They don't expect him to come back and do it again. You know what I mean? So the depth is very critical.
We're going to take a break. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with Hastings College. UNK has one more week of spring practice. Coach Morris is going to be our guest on the Loper Link on Wednesday to talk about that, because they'll have a little scrimmage themselves this weekend to wrap things up going into Easter break. But Hastings also finished up. They had their get-together on Saturday. We'll talk with Coach Harper, also Roger Matheson, all coming up in the second half of the Doug and Daddy Show.
The world is going crazy. There's the potential zombie get, the meteorite apocalypse, and dolphins are becoming too smart for their own good. Prepare your getaway car now at Napa. Stock up on Castrol GTX oil for just $3.49 a quart. $3.49. There's hope for us all. Conquer the job with Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, sale price does not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/14.
Now at the Home Depot, get your choice. Spectracide Insect Killer Ready to Spray or 10-pound bag of granules, just $6.88 each. So, let's spend more time enjoying the yard and less time worrying about pests. Let's put our toes in the grass while keeping over 100 types of insects out. Let's do this. Spring into savings with your choice. Spectracide Ready to Spray or granules, just $6.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With a mix of clouds and sun developing today, we'll head up to 43 for a high as northwest winds will stay gusting for around 15 to 30 yet. With partly cloudy skies tonight, winds will be diminishing as we head back to 22. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 28.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Looks like Michael Phelps officially coming out of retirement. The multiple gold medal winner, 18 career Olympic gold medals. You think he'll train in Colorado?
Yeah, I think so. Way to go.
I don't know. You know, why don't train out there in Colorado? I don't know. You were asking about, I don't have the official exact number of snaps that each quarterback took, but Stanton and Fife had 12 pass attempts apiece. Darlington had 11, 8 for Armstrong. Tyson Brockmeyer got in there and threw it 5 times as well. So those were the passing plays that Nebraska had in the game. And to me, again, this is just personal observation. They scored it obviously differently. I thought it was easier for the offense to put points on the board than it was for the defense. So I'm not, you know, sitting here saying that the offense played better than the defense just because they scored more points.
Right.
Sound out the defense played pretty well.
Right. Hey, you know, Doug, the number one defense, they were talking about the defensive ends being really good and, you know, maybe not a lot of depth, et cetera. Did you notice any one area in the number one defense you thought, wow, are we good there? Did you, I mean, you were thinking, well, they're really going to have trouble with this. Stopping the run at all or? Just overall, the whole thing. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Well,
yeah.
What it was. I'm not a guy that sits there and watches the D-line.
Right.
I just don't. I watch the linebacker play a little bit. You try to see how the secondary is doing. But
sure.
That's because sometimes that's where the ball's going. I mean, if you're making a good play at the line, if you're getting the sack or tackling the guy, your line's probably doing a pretty good job up front. And if Monty Cross runs through a hole on the right side, then you got to give credit to the O-line for opening up the block there. There was a couple times. But, like, again, it was practice.
Yeah.
It was practice. Kenny Bell was wearing a funny hat. Folks, they have been moving snow and ice and getting it out of the way all day at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. So, folks, they are ready to go. They are selling cars and making sure that you can see what you want. They got there bright and early this morning, got the lots cleared off, and getting everything back in place. So right here over the noon hour, well, if you need a better vehicle after all this, folks, this is the place to be. Maybe you couldn't make it through the storm this weekend. Maybe you just need some new tires. Maybe it kind of threw your system off a little bit. Maybe you're off balance right now. Maybe you just need to go in and get your vehicle adjusted, shall we say. Midway Auto Dealerships are there for you. They are never going to be quiet or asleep, because 24-7 they're there at thinkmidway.com. You can check out the over 500 new and pre-owned vehicles that are on the lot with their everyday low hassle-free price. You can see what kind of engine. You can see what color the exterior, the interior, the price, the mileage if it's a pre-owned vehicle. You can see them all online at thinkmidway.com or stop by the lot today. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, Hastings College, you know, the coaches, they kind of watch that line stuff every once in a while. Tony Harper joins us to recap how the spring went. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Do you watch the line? I mean, I don't know.
No. Heck yeah, I'm coaching the defensive line now. I love the big fellas up front. I don't know exactly what's going on all the time, but I like watching them.
How do you watch a scrimmage or your practices differently than, because we all know the coach say, well, I got to go look at the film. I got to go look at the film. What were you watching on Saturday?
What I was looking for, besides how we were going up front, was I was seeing how the feel of the game was going and how the kids were competing. I stand behind the quarterback. I don't call any plays or anything like that anymore. I was standing back, and I was just kind of seeing, judging their body language, judging and seeing how much they were flying around, how much excitement that they were playing with. So that's what I was really looking for on a spring scrimmage kind of like that.
Did you see what you wanted?
I really did. I'm going to be honest with you. I was very pleased with how our guys responded, how they played on Saturday. I mean, it was a beautiful day out there. We had a nice little crowd here. We have enough players on the team now that we could kind of have a little mini draft, so we split starters up. There wasn't just the number one D against the number one O or different things like that. And it was fun to watch, let's say you're a returning starter at left tackle, it was fun to watch that freshman who's battling for playing time at left guard work together with that guy. And I was very pleased with how they responded and how they played and performed on Saturday.
Coach Jim Langan here. On your scrimmage, did you basically play it like a game for a quarter or a half, or did you actually have the offense have 20 plays in a row against the defense and then turn it around like that, or did you kind of play it like a game?
It was exactly like the game. The only special teams we did not do was kickoff return, and punt return, because we didn't want to take the chance of, you know, kind of what we went through last year, maybe getting some clean shots and some guys and some possible injuries. So the only special teams we did was PAT and PAT block and then punt pro, because that would judge where the offense was going to get the ball. But it was as close to a game as could be. We moved it. There was no set plays. If they scored, they scored. If they got stopped, they stopped, and we had to punt. And so that it was more game-like for the kids, because we're such a young team right now. We felt that was the best way to go about it, and we were, again, very pleased with how they responded to it.
We're talking with Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Coach, as you now are done with spring, are you the kind of guy that is going to tell me, well, every spot's still up for competition, or are you going to tell me that I know who 11 of my starters are, or fill in the number?
That's a pretty good question. Here's what I'll say. Every day is a competition, you know, regardless of whether we're in spring ball or we're off season in the summertime. Everything that these guys do, we talk to about, it's an open competition, because when you make that bad choice, there's somebody right behind you wanting to, you know, take that job from you. But on the flip side, I'm also not going to give you the normal coach speak and say everything is open. I'll say that there are some positions that have been solidified. For example, quarterback at Matt Overmiller, he will go into camp as our number one guy. Tanner Paxton, the left tackle, a three-time all-conference guy, he's going to come in as the starter at that position. There's some other positions on the field, you know, like Kenessa Eo at free safety, but there are a lot of positions that are open, because we got a lot of guys coming back. We got a lot of guys coming off an injury. We held out probably 8 to 10 guys from the scrimmage on Saturday that, you know, got nicked up, that we wanted to save kind of make sure we took care of them. But it's kind of a 50-50 deal. There are some positions solidified, and there's other positions that it's going to be a battle throughout camp and probably throughout the whole season next year.
Obviously, a question that we can always ask, and you'll say everywhere, but what are you not comfortable with right now?
The biggest thing that we're not comfortable with is game-like situations. You know, that's the biggest thing.
You know, that's every snap, right? You know, that's every snap is a game situation, right? I'm a little worried by that answer. I'm a little worried.
Well, you know, you asked me, I got to say, everything is basis with that. But the good thing is, though, with how we did the scrimmage, the guys got a lot of different situations. There's a couple backed up, couple red zone, couple short yardage situations. It's a continuous process, and I know coaches are throwing that word out like crazy now, process, but it really is. We got to get a better understanding of the situation within the game. And then outside of that, we got to understand that, okay, we're going to be off for a couple of weeks from lifting and doing football-related activities. That doesn't mean that, okay, I can relax now. No, we got to take it to that next step. We got to watch more film. We got to get in and work out on our own, just continuing down that line of thinking.
Yeah, Coach, the game-like situations that I have, though, for you is like, you know, the 25 seconds that you have to get the ball, you know, get the play in, get yourself ready, mm-hmm. you know, those type situations like that. But like you say, with your quarterback, you know, being able to address that. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I officiate, and I know on different crews, some crews you just got to adjust to. They get the ball down faster than other crews do, and you don't have as much time in between plays to get that. So, like you say, there's some game-like situations that you just – You can't really coach. You just got to be able to act on the fly, too, and get ready for them.
Exactly. And one of the ways, a teaching tool that we use is when our guys will come back for camp, we'll sit down and we'll just watch a quarter of a game or half a quarter of a game just to show the guys, okay, in this situation, this is something we're thinking. This is what the other team possibly could be thinking. And that helps us out a lot, too.
Another minute here with Tony Harper, the head football coach at Hastings College. Okay, what's your process? What's next as far as this week? Are you bringing them in individually? You got a final work with them? Are you getting into recruiting again? What takes place here before the end of the month?
Well, what we're going to do this week is they're going to get in the weight room with Coach Schultz, our strength coordinator, just a couple times just to get the blood flowing, get that lactic acid out of their bodies, get them moving around. We'll have a team meeting next week. We'll continue to lift next week. We'll have individual meetings with our position coaches next week. And then after Easter break, us as coaches will go on the road and junior recruit while the guys are still in the weight room with Coach Schultz. And that's kind of where we're at. We'll have one more big team meeting before the guys go home. But we got a lot of guys staying here this summer, so we'll have to get a schedule set up for those guys. On June 1st, everybody will be back, or at least a lot of our team members will be back. Some of our newcomers will be coming in, and we'll get that schedule set up with Coach Schultz. So there's still a lot of things to do, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to relax a little bit this week and enjoy what I felt like was a great Saturday this past weekend.
Coach, were there any significant injuries during spring ball that you're concerned about?
You know what? No. We came out pretty healthy, especially when you lose about 16 starters like we did this past season. We were coming through spring ball like, man, we can't lose that many guys. But, no, we came through spring ball with no major injuries. We had some nicks and some bruises and some things like that. And the good thing is we got about four guys back that we had lost from last season with broken ankles and some different things like that. So we came out of here healthy. We came out of here hungry. And you know what? We're fired up because this team right now and how we finished spring on Saturday – these guys are doing exactly what we're wanting them to do, and I'm excited for them.
When are we going to get that 11th game? Yeah, I'm bringing
well,
it.
The plan. Here's what I'll tell you. We got 10 regular season games this year. I'm planning on playing at least more than that this upcoming season. So that there you go. How's that for an answer?
Oh, well, so we'll have something to talk about later on then, huh?
That's the plan.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Home or away?
I don't care. I don't even care if it's in the parking lot. We want to play that 11th and 12th game.
All right. Any other news that we need to know as we head into summer break?
No. It's going good. You know, the snow, the ice is melting, and we're looking forward to another great summer and great upcoming fall.
Well, let me ask you one more thing. We'll let you get out of here. You'll have to fill out your conference sheets and all that sometime this summer. Is it Morningside? Is it the same situation we've had for a number of years here? Is somebody ready to make a move one way or the other in this conference?
I think the top three teams in the conference are going to go with Morningside, Northwestern, Doan, Concordia is right there as well. Nebraska Wesleyan is always a solid team. That's how I'll rank them going into preseason camp. You know, and I think until somebody proves otherwise, those are the top three or four teams. And what we got to be able to do is we can't look ahead and be like, okay, we play Team A the fourth week of the season, so we got to be here. Now we can't. We're not to that stage yet. We got to be focused on that first practice on August 9th when our guys come back. But I think with all these returners, with Morningside, Northwestern, Doan, and all these guys, I think that's how it should be penciled in until somebody proves it differently, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
Well, as it sets right now, 5 home, 5 away, starting at Kansas Wesleyan. The top three, as you mentioned them, aren't necessarily back-to-back-to-back, but the first two conference games are Concordia and Doan. So we've had some interesting schedules over the last few years.
We really have. We're looking forward to our first game down at Kansas Wesleyan. It's going to be an evening game for us, so we're looking forward to that trip down there, and we come back right into the conference play, and those are two very good football teams. You know, Doan finished, I think, third or fourth, and Concordia was right there with them as well. So, you know, that's how we like it. Let's play the best ones we can and see what happens.
All right, Coach, as always, appreciate the time, and we'll chat with you soon.
Thanks for the call. Y'all have a good day now.
Take care. Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College. When you come off a 2-8 season, you need to get off to a good start. He mentioned two of the 4 teams he thought, and it'll be interesting. You know, he's going to throw a couple out there. I'm sure in the back of his mind, he wants to be back in that top three conversation. I mean, Morningside's always going to be number one, unless something crazy goes on up there. Doan and Concordia have come so far here over the last couple of years, and Northwestern of Iowa is always in the conversation there. And now Sioux Falls, obviously, for the last couple of years, has moved up to Division II, but Hastings had been right in there. They fell off. They're going to get tested right away, though, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, one thing I did like, I thought Coach was very positive. And I think that was real critical when you come off those 2-8 seasons. You know, you need some leadership, and a lot of times that leadership comes from the head coach. And he sounds positive. He liked the way things were going. They ran this scrimmage like a game. You know, they split the squad up. They were kind of looking to see at some of the talent level who maybe would step up and how they're competing. And he, like he said, he was looking at body language. Hey, who wants to play football? Well, hey, you know, we only got one game in April. You know, I mean, let's see who wants to play. Yeah,
that's a good point. We'll take a break here. We will take a break, and Roger Matheson is scheduled to join us here in just a moment. As we go into break, let's give you our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, we talked about Nebraska basketball being rated in some of those way too early top 25 polls, while Nebraska football really hasn't been there. So which team has a better chance of finishing the upcoming season rated, football or basketball? Shocker, 61% said football, 39% said basketball. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin this week. Dun-dun-dun! Jeffrey has the bracket. Who's your pre-Stanley Cup playoff winner? Boston, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, Colorado. I got this right last year, right? Sure, let's go with yeah. Jimmy, I think
yeah, you nailed
sure
it.
You knew one of us did. I think you got the NBA at something.
You nailed it.
I got to study it more. Boston, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, Colorado. You got a choice yet? Because we got to fill that bracket out, I guess. That's what they make us do.
When are we going to do that, Friday?
Probably. When's this thing start?
Wednesday.
Let's do a couple games. See who's up 2-0.
We'll take a break, and you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who you got in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Congratulations to Union College. Michael Vecchione, former Storm player, had 7 shots on goal, scored a goal for the national champions in a 7-4 win over Minnesota, which was 4-2 after the first period. Not a great night for Adam Wilcox, who had done such a great job all year long. Made 41 saves, but they were shooting at him a whole lot. So there you go. We'll take a break. Be back with Roger Matheson after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
In 1936, Leonard saved big Benjamins on his automobile insurance with Geico. He did the jitterbug all over town.
In 1955, Sally was tickled pink over her savings with Geico. It was super swell.
In 1972, Melissa rode the peace train all the way to San Francisco with her Geico savings. What a groovy time.
Over the past 75 years, the expressions have changed, but one thing hasn't. Saving money with Geico.
Hello there.
This is Scott for Scott's Easy Seed. This brilliant stuff is guaranteed to grow grass anywhere. That's because it combines the finest seeds and fertilizer with a natural mulch that absorbs and holds six times its weight in water. That ground-up paper in Pennington Complete just can't match it. To learn more, go to Scotts.com. Get Scott's Easy Seed. Seed your lawn. Seed it.
Visit Scotts.com/goyard for the chance to win a $25,000 backyard.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Keno, you can call it plain Keno. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Keno parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Doug and Danny's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Tomorrow, we'll have a little bit more recap on the Nebraska spring game and where our analysts think we are at heading into the summer portion of the season. But this Thursday, Kearney High will be going to one of their big track meets down in Omaha. We'll talk about that as they are looking to make a move here. But we want to talk a little bit more today about the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame with one of the four coaches. I'll tell you, when I saw this, Jimmy, and I looked up and down, yes, the athletes usually jump out, but this year, the four coaches, Kelly Flynn at South Sioux City, John Larson from Lincoln Southeast, John Peterson, Columbus Scotus, Roger Matheson at Kearney High, these four could put on a clinic that would last a couple of days, and you would learn a lot of things.
Doug, I'll tell you one thing. If they limited it to only 50 coaches are going to make it, these four would be on there.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And Roger Matheson might even tell me how to, you know, kind of build the house and put some flooring down. He joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Roger, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning.
How's the house coming along?
Well, fine. It's been a while since I talked to you. Yeah, we got moved in a long time ago, so we're pretty well settled, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Hall of Fame. I think this is one of those things that we all knew was coming. We just didn't know when. But as much as you have done up for Kearney High, as all these coaches have done for their schools, there is no higher honor than getting elected to the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. And then I know your name has been there for national accolades as well, but just your thoughts on receiving this honor.
Oh, quite honestly, when I got the letter and they gave me the call, I thought it was a mistake because I didn't know. No, you could get put into the Hall of Fame when you were still coaching. So I'm going, I thought when you were still an athlete or still coaching, I thought you were kind of exempted from being put in. So I, quite honestly, I'm still not sure it's not a mistake because I'm still kind of pounding away at Kearney High. But it was an honor. But I, again, sound like a guy just won the Masters golf from here, giving everybody else credit for things. But this is, I heard John Calipari say on the show the other day on Colin Cowherd, he said, it's not about I, it's about we. So I know it sounds corny, but that's really the way it is. I read something the other day, and it was in World Herald, they used the term an architect. Well, the way, I guess, as a coach, you are kind of an architect of a program, but it certainly is, it's about what a heck of a lot of people did over a long, long period of time. I heard Colin Cowherd say one time, you get in the Hall of Fame three ways. You give a lot of money, or you hang around long enough, or it's on accomplishments. So I'm not so sure which way I got in. But it was really an honor. But really, again, it's an honor for, I think, a lot of our kids. It's been really nice for me. I got a contact with a lot of old athletes who have gotten a hold of me now, and it's been pretty nice.
Roger, I'm going to tell you this, what you've done, and when people talk about any type, they talk about this streak. Hey, this team won this many games in a row, or this team did this in a row. Hey, yours always comes up. I mean, and then everybody has to shut up because no one can trump it. You know what I mean? We can't trump this. So if you want to, one of the things I always thought was interesting was I coached track and not even close to the level you did, but I'd have an athlete or two that was really good, and I'd look at our track board, and then I'd go to Kearney High and look at your track board. I'm going, now this is unbelievable. I'll tell you what. I mean, just the 3,200 meter relay, you know, the record that they have. I mean, there's just some outstanding things that I look at. And your board in all the events, and that's the one thing I'm going to give you credit for. In every event, you took advantage and said, whoa, we've got all these events. We're going to try to be good in all of them. We're going to find a way to get somebody and score some points in every event. Is there any event that you felt yourself? I always thought your distance runners did so well every year. Was there any event that you had that you thought, hey, yeah, we're going to go to this area and this, we're going to build here first and then we're going to move on?
Well, I think you raised some interesting points there. It's definitely about, it's a philosophy of the way about doing things. You know, no different than it's in business or in whatever you're doing. It's kind of the way you go about it. In many ways, you mentioned that too, Ma, really. I can still remember after they won the all-class gold and set the state record a few years ago, I remember walking away from the, they give the all-class gold out in the middle of the field. I can remember getting about halfway across the field. And the announcer saying, the Kearney High kids who are now leaving the podium just ran the fastest time in the United States. That's pretty difficult to do when you're a little school in the middle of Nebraska, but I think you're right. Up at our record board, almost all those events are, you know, those times in March in the top 10 in Nebraska history. I always say it looks more like a small college record board than it does a high school record board. But when you're a school our size, you're a little Class A school, there's only a couple ways to go about doing it. And if you don't do it that way, somebody's going to have to convince me there's another way of doing it, because you're not going to do it. Then you're going to outman schools that have 2,500 kids in them. I mean, you've been at a number of different schools. You know what it's like. If you want to be a state champion, I always tell people, what you want to do is go coach at one of the biggest schools in your class. That's how you do it. We've been really fortunate. We try to field all the events for certain places. If you think you're going to go into the state track meet and dominate the 100 meters year in and year out, and dominate the high hurdles year in and year out, and the high jump and the triple jump, then you're in a dream world. I mean, this is not going to happen. So what you have to do is build the areas where you think you can legitimately compete year in and year out, and just hope to the good Lord that you get a Drew Anderson every now and then, or you get a Brock Howard every now and then, or a Doug Arreda or a Tyler Gillen. It's really difficult. You know, we deal with certain types of kids, and what we really have is, as you guys know, we have a lot of kids out. You know, we have like 140 out this year. Get a lot of kids out. We have to work hard. We have to really do it on structure and discipline and hard work. And I know you can say that's kind of trite, but we still stretch in lines in unison. We're still back in the 1950s at Kearney High. But I do think it's a way about doing things. And I've been very fortunate. I've had, you know, not good coaches, but great coaches and truly, truly, guys, great athletes. I mean, we've been really blessed over the last 30 years.
Talking with Roger Matheson here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug due to Jim Langan. And this is probably a question from me as much as it is from a lot of fans out there. I mean, I'm thinking when you're coaching football, you can teach a kid technique. I know when you're teaching a hurdles, you can teach them technique. When you're teaching basketball, you can teach how to force the kid to go to their offhand and get in a better defensive stance. But when you're coaching track, and you mentioned some of the kids just have natural God-given ability.
Yeah, there's not much of a substitute for the gift.
how do you coach kids up, and maybe there's as Jimmy said, maybe there's a certain event, you've been good in the weights, you've been good in everything, but maybe there's a certain event where it's more easy or more difficult to coach a kid up. How, can you explain to the general fan out there how you coach track kids up?
Well, I do think there's a way, again, of going about doing it. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's a program that's been on HBO, and it's a $10 million program. It's a program called The State of Play, Trophy Kids, talking about the way we've gone about athletics, you know, the last 10 years, 20 years. It's a great program. And I think that our approach, in all honesty, to track is markedly different than everybody else's or most other people. I think, you know, we're really funny about doing things, and what we what we say is doing things right. And I always tell my kids when they go off to college, you know, we've averaged over one Division I kid for the last 30-some years. And just because we do it doesn't mean it's the right way of doing it. We do it our way, so it seems to work for us. But, again, we feel that if we don't teach our kids proper technique, what we think is the right way, you know, to pole vault, to long jump, to triple jump, to hurdle, if we don't, we're in big trouble. Because, you know, here we said we're the 20th biggest school in Class A, and our kids have to do things more right. We have to be, I won't say necessarily perfectionist, but we have to be more skilled in what we do because, again, we probably aren't going to have, it's all about the number of kids in your school, so you've got to get a lot of the kids you have. And so I would say we're probably pretty picky about technique and that type of thing.
Yeah, coach, too. You know, when I look at the streets in Kearney and I'll see kids running, you know, I mean, and I'm not talking about one or two kids. I'm talking about kids running all. And I think that has to help a little bit, at least, let's say, 800 and up. You know what I mean? And like you said, I agree with you on the 100. I think sometimes, you know, whoever's the best kid in the 100 meters just happened to live in that town. You know what I mean?
We everybody's got to live somewhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But in the 800 and above, I think, you know, and the way you get your relays and even the 1600 meter relay, you know, there's a little bit of, you got to work hard. I mean, it's not just everybody can go out and run a 2 minute 800, you know.
Yeah, it's, again, you know, we can kick it around. We wouldn't necessarily have the same belief everybody else had. If you notice, I have a matter of fact, I'll tell you who it was. It's Griesland's going into the Hall of Fame. He made the comment to me a number of years ago. He goes, "Coach, how can you never have a quarter miler at the state meet? One year we went to state meet and we won the 100, we won the 200, we won the 800, we won the 16, we won the 32, we won the 4x1, we won the 4x4, we won the long jump, and we scored 67 the first day. And Riesland made a comment to me one time. He said, "I've never had any quarter milers." Oh, we have them. He said, "I have them triple jumping, running the half, you know, running intermediate hurdles or doing something else, because I don't really like where the 400 meters falls in track meets. I don't like where it falls in a weekly track meet. I don't like where it falls in state track meet." And those type of kids who run that event typically can do a lot of other things as well. And so I know people don't see it probably as track as being strategy, but they're very much as a strategy to what, where are you going to put a kid? It doesn't do any good to have a kid who's really great at the end of the year if you think he's a state meet type kid who's going to get eighth or something else, you get third. But the trick is getting them in the right event. But like in all athletics, it's just a different game now, guys, as you guys well know, than it was 20 years ago. You got to get them out, and then you got to get them in the right event, and then you got to get them to work. And so the challenge is definitely there. So, again, back to my point there about the four, we've had some great quarter milers, but unless we think you're a big league hitter, we tend to move those guys around. And we're really great in the mile relay, and you're right. A lot of those guys don't even run the quarter. We got them doing something else so they can help the team more.
Roger Matheson with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Roger, can't let you go without talking about this season. You got the Dick Jones invite coming up this week, but now that it's settled in, obviously the streak came to an end here a couple of weeks ago at Columbus, and I loved, as I said at the time, I loved your quote, "I'm going to go home and walk the dog." First, did you walk the dog? And now that it's been a few days to settle in, is there any sadness or is there another emotion that you're kind of feeling?
Oh, absolutely none. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of people think, "Well, gosh, are they ever going to lose? What are they going to do when they finally lose?" Listen, we could talk about it forever, but when I talked to the guy at the National Federation a few years ago, for somebody to win 123 invites in a row, I mean, that's beating 1,000 people. We'd be at right at 1,000 people in a row. It's just not going to happen anymore. Just the nature of the way things are. But no, not in the least. The saddest part for me is if I hang around another two decades, it's going to take 23 more years to break the record. I don't know if I can last 23 more years. But I don't think even our kids. I don't think that it's just another day on the farm, if you want. And so we have a loss streak. The other day when we won the Kearney invite, and no one thinks much of it, I think, but. Now, you guys around sports, you know what it's like to score 100 points in a basketball game. It's pretty hard to do. Well, it's pretty hard to do in a track meet, too. We scored 100 points in a track meet every meet since 1986. I'll write at 200 meets in a row. But it's going to be hard for us to keep that going this year. But truly, I think maybe this happens by just being around for a while. The best part of coaching
just takes a while maybe to get there is watching kids get better. I know it sounds philosophical, but you have to, when you approach athletics, I think to last for a long time and have success over a long period of time, you have to have a philosophy that's conducive to your school and the athletes you're dealing with. And the name of the game is always motivation. Kids have got to do it, not because mom and dad want them to do it, not because coach wants them to do it. They have to do it because, you know, they have a stake in it, and it's enjoyable for them. It's fun. I mean, you guys remember when you were kids going out and playing basketball, not when the coach is there, but doing it out on your own, or going out, and you probably never ran around the block. We didn't do a lot of that, or, you know, playing baseball with your friends. You have to do stuff because you like doing it. And so that's why we've always had the philosophy of when track is over, and you guys know that there are people who want track to go on into May, into June, rather. We've never been like that. We're not camp people. We're not clinic people. We tell our kids when summertime hits, next sport is football. Get ready for football or cross country. Go play baseball. So I think a lot of our success is really stemmed around a philosophy that I don't think a lot of people have anymore. It's an ord philosophy. It's a given philosophy, I think, if you want, where you two guys are from. We've kind of tried to hold on to that in Class A. It's difficult to do.
You know, Roger, one thing, too, over the years, you talked about the success of your athletes and stuff. And also, when you get to be a certain age, it's fun to watch your assistant coaches have success. I mean, you know you've been doing it a long time when you're looking at your assistant coach. Goes, hey, this guy's growing, and that's good. It was good for him because he coaches the pole vault or he coaches the triple jump, and all of a sudden he gets to have a state champion. And you know how much time he's put in with him. And then you've got these kids that went on, and now they're successful coaches too. So, you know, what's your feelings about that? Do you feel that the same way as you do about your athletes too?
Yeah, very definitely. In that, again, you guys know a lot about our program. We have a kid who wants to go on and compete in college. We never thought that was our position as a high school coach. I know people disagree with that, but if kids want to go on and compete, that's certainly up to them. The same way, with being a coach, I would never talk a kid into going somewhere and running or pole vaulting. That's something that I don't think that should be driven by coaches and parents. That should be driven by the athlete themselves. The same way with coaching. Like right now, Brock Howard, who until a year ago had the state record, state track meet record in the 200 meters, Brock is now back helping us. And we were at Columbus here this past weekend, and Nate Polacek, who the former state champion for us, and of course a really successful Walter at UNL, you know, just seeing those guys and having them come up to you, and Brock, of course, now being right here with us. But it's rewarding because they're doing it because they want to do it, not because there's an obligation, not because, you know, 10 years ago I said, you ought to be a coach or you should be doing this or that. It's a way of going about doing things. And I think we've tried to, all of our coaches have tried to do things in a particular way. And you got to do it because you want to do it. I go back to the same thing now for the third time now. But I think that when you're a coach, it's interesting, guys. Just look around. Well, listen, you even remember who your high school basketball coach was, Jimmy? Huh?
Yeah, Fred Reed.
Yeah, no, I'm giving you a hard time. But one thing that really bothers me a lot about athletics, I don't see very many older guys coaching. I see guys come in, they coach, and it's a club stuff, as you well know. They get caught up sometimes in a lot of that, and I don't see a lot of 40-year-old guys coaching anymore, a lot of 50-year-old guys coaching. A 60-year-old guy's coaching. And I remember Fred Reed, when I was at Shelton years ago, I thought he was a tremendous coach. And I'm not saying he was old, but as I look around, I don't see a lot of older guys coaching. Some of the legends in coaching when I first came into the scene, it seems like all the coaches were, you know, old guys, and now I don't see a lot of them anymore. That concerns me. Why are they in there and then they disappear? Somebody thinks because, as a coach, maybe we just got to be careful of things we do in the off season in terms of making do one thing all the time. Maybe kids get tired of doing it. Maybe coaches get tired of doing it. And so whether or not you're a coach or you're an athlete, I think, again, for the fifth time here, philosophically, there's a way of going about doing it to make sure it's a love for life, you know, not just while you're doing it. I don't want my kids to coach because I was their coach. I don't want them to be college athlete because I talked them into it. They have to do it because they enjoy it. And I see a lot of the older guys, the legendary coaches in Nebraska history, a lot of them, they were legendary for a reason. They were successful, but I loved it. I just don't see a lot of older guys coaching anymore. At least it bothers me a lot. I hope that our kids, get back to your question more specifically, I hope the kids that came out of our program are coaching, you know, approach with the same kind of philosophy. You know, don't make kids live it. You know, have them go out, enjoy it, and work at it. And it's paid us incredible dividends. I mean, we've had incredible success by going about things in a particular way. And I don't think we're probably too old to change, Jimmy.
Jimmy told me that you don't have to be an old coach anymore because you guys make so much money you can retire early, Raj.
That's what Jimmy did. The money came around. It didn't come from coaching, I can tell you that.
Well, Roger, hey, I want to let you out of here with this one, and then we'll let you get back to your day. You do have you do go to Omaha this weekend and the Kansas Relays. Any kids going down to Kansas? And just kind of talk about the two meets.
Yeah, the Omaha Central meet will be a really difficult meet. You know, years ago, we've been very successful over the years, but one thing we've tried to do is compete at a really high level. You know, sometimes I think winning streaks, as you well know, sometimes they're not always built on a floor of concrete. Sometimes they're on a floor of sand, if you want. But it'd be a very, very difficult meet for us. What we have at Kearney High right now with our kids, we have a lot of really good kids. I mean, we got beat the other day at Columbus. You know, a lot of people say, well, you left five kids home, that's why you got beat. Well, I don't think that's true. I think they would have probably beaten us anyway. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I think that what we have is a lot of really good kids, and we have some kids that perform well. We got second in that. I mean, we didn't get last. I mean, we're pretty good. But what we are missing right now is what I would call the kids on the top end. I mean, we're talking the big hitters, you know, like Tyler Gillen or Jacob White or Jacob Long. And we got some kids who are really good. I mean, you look at those marks, and we're not exactly, as they say, chopped liver. But whether or not you have enough big hitters, when you go to meets in Omaha, that's not for the sisters of the poor. I mean, you'd better have it cranked up and have it cranked up pretty fast. And as far as KU, I was talking to, there's no reason why you guys would know him. He's a track coach at North Platte. He's across, his boys are state cross country champion. His name is McGuire. And I was talking to him at the Kearney UNK Indoor, and he was asking me about KU. And I said, you know, one of the misconceptions of Kearney High track is people don't think we ever get beat. Well, our team gets beat, or our team doesn't get beat. Our kids get beat all the time. Just as a team, we're pretty decent. And so what I was telling him is you got to take your kid to KU. You got to go to KU and get beat. You got to go down there because you don't get any better if you're running against people who are, you know, markedly worse than you are, or they're not nearly as good. If you have a kid who really, you know, performs well against, I would call it, mediocre competition, then I don't know if you really got a champion there or not. I mean, Colby Whistle ran for me years ago, who I still argue is the state best track athlete in state history. Whistle go out and run a 4:30 mile. He's not running 4:28 mile. He was running against guys that run 4:35. He was running against somebody that runs 4:18. He runs 4:10. I mean, if he runs against somebody who runs 9:10 to 2 mile, like he was out in California, he runs 8:55. So when you ask about KU, I know this will sound weird to you, but we go down there to get beat. And we set the KU records, you know, at the 4-mile relay a couple of years ago. Drew Anderson set the hurdle record there. And Whistle set the mile record, but that's not, and we've had 20 KU Relays champions, which is a lot, but that's not really the reason we go there. We go there because that's how you get your feet wet, because what you see there is those are the best kids in the Midwest, and those kids are all typically wound fairly tight. It's not always that way every event and every meet, but the guys there, they have the old proverbial game face on you rolling the KU. So that'll be a challenge, but that's the kids we take down there, we take there because we think there's a very bright light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, Roger, hey, congratulations on all that you've received here for the Hall of Fame, and we will chat with you again. You get to host districts. We'll talk with you district and state time, so enjoy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Well, believe me, our kids will they'll perform well the rest of the year. It's we have high expectations, and I think you'll see that we'll be fairly competitive the rest of the year.
They've got the state tournament marked on the schedule as always, and they always
we'll
compete well.
That.
Hey, Raj, enjoy it. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling.
Take care. Roger Matheson, obviously, I mean, if there's a Hall of Fame, Roger Matheson's going to be in it. I mean, best track coach probably of all time.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, he mentioned a couple athletes there. You know, Drew Anderson, tremendous, you know, in the hurdles, goes on, scores a run for the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, you talk about just being an athlete and played baseball for the Huskers, you know, had a lot of success. One of the when I look back, you know, he probably was, when you look back at it, he should have been the Nebraska Athlete of the Year that year. I think he was the runner-up, you know, that year. And then the Whistle Kid, there was a race, and I, when I told the story, hopefully it'll take 20 seconds, but what happened in February, when he was a senior, he got to go to Arkansas for a meet, and I think he had to, you know, the NSAA had to approve it because he had to run unattached, you know, one of like, but he got to run in this race, and it was a mile run, and I, for some reason, I think it was an indoor meet in Arkansas. And they had a high school, and they brought in 8 kids from all over the United States, and they got to compete in this meet. And it was on your previous times the year before. And I for some reason, I think he ran like 4:10. You know, I mean, obviously, unbelievable. Now, and the 1,600 meters, you know, is it like 7 yards further or something like that? But anyway, he ran 4 minutes in 10 seconds, and I think he got like fourth. You know, so what Coach was talking about was, you know, getting to a point where you have to run against some competition, because you can run 4:20 and win it, you know. But, yeah, what an amazing thing. And I, like I said, the time I said is probably incorrect, but the only thing maybe I got right was that it was in Arkansas.
Yeah, he got to do some cool things and move around and go out, like Coach said, running California. So the track team, they'll be just fine. They'll be just fine. The question is, how long is Roger going to keep the whistle around his neck? I don't think he's ready to step aside yet, and you always want good coaches around. So we want to thank Roger Matheson for joining us on the show today, going into the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame and during the track season here, keeping things going with the Bearcats. Also, want to thank joining us earlier in the program, Hastings College football coach Tony Harper. Tomorrow, Sean Callahan is going to drop in and give us his assessment. We talked about what we were thinking with Nebraska football. We'll get his thoughts, because again, it's unique. All the guys that cover the Huskers on a daily basis got to stand there and watch practice. Gives them a little bit different view. We'll see what Sean has to say. And we'll have Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Damon Day's in tomorrow. And a whole lot more. Jimmy Langan, have a good week. We'll see you Friday.
Yes.
See you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a good one, everyone.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.